Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
And I had done like the first round audition, I think I'd done like three or four rounds, and I was like driving down to the Gold Coast, which is like an hour or two away. I remember on my like first callback, I got lost. Even though I like my grandparents live at the Gold Coast, I go there all the time. I somehow like ended up on the other side of where I needed to be, and it was like half an hour late.
Hello world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is your first time tuning in, this is a show where I speak to fellow actors about their journey in this wild industry, and then I make them share a couple embarrassing audition stories. I don't have much to say in this preamble, if you will. I have just been super busy and working a lot, and it's been great, but I am tired. I'm getting better at my trapeze routine. So there's that. That's pretty cool. I like that. That's about it. Before we get into things, if you are not subscribed to the show, make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening to it right now and leave us some love, some ratings, some reviews, some stars, some hearts, whatever is there. Click it, please. And then make sure to follow us on social media. Those links are in the show notes. We post cool videos every week, so check that out. Today on the show, we have Ella Probertz. You may remember her from Netflix's Mako Mermaids, or you may have seen her in the brand new film, The Curious Case of Dolphin Bay. We also talk about her work with the UN Foundation Girl Up and a bunch of other stuff. So here's our conversation. And welcome to the show, Ella.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Thanks for coming on. We were just talking before we started recording about how bizarre it is to be in different time zones because you're a whole day ahead of me right now, which is just so strange.
It's crazy. It's wigging me out a little bit that we're like, I don't know, it feels like time traveling. I'm seeing into your day before. I don't know. It's weird to me.
It's so weird. I remember the first time like it really hit me was I was in South Korea and I flew back. And I was in the day that I had flown out. So it was like –
You, like, regained.
I regained a day.
It's so cool, but still wigs me out. I'm never going to get over
it. No, never. Never going to get over it. So welcome to the show. It's so nice to have you here. I want to talk to you a little bit about your acting career and how you got started. I read that you – caught the acting bug at an early age. So I wanted to know, you know, what was that like first moment that you were like, ooh, that looks fun. I want to do that.
Yeah. So it was actually in year one. So first grade, I would have been six. And my best friend at the time would always talk to me about these drama classes she'd been going to. And I was like slowly getting more and more intrigued, like what she's talking about, what even is drama. It just sounded like some magical land where you were like encouraged to play dress ups. And I just was in disbelief about that. I just didn't believe that that was a thing that was praised by adults. And she kept talking to me about it. And then one day she was like, our teacher like threw us a party and she like gave us these Fredo frogs. And I was like, whoa, that's just insane. Because I was doing gymnastics at the time. I did very competitive gymnastics like all throughout my childhood pretty much. So having like a party or something fun like that was just so foreign to me. Anyway, so I went and told my parents about it and they thought it was a great idea. My dad actually, turns out he did quite a bit of acting when he was in high school. So he was happy to be
there. Oh, dad was holding out, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I think the story was he didn't do his maths assignment and the school musical auditions were on at the same time that it was due. So it was like went to the auditions instead and ended up getting a lead role in Oliver. I just thought that was cool. So I was like, yeah, all right, maybe I should follow down the same path. Yeah, so I ended up in drama classes and I loved it just as much as I thought I would. And
wow. So your parents were super supportive, which is always like a good thing because I feel like everyone who is an actor catches the bug when you're small. Mm-hmm. It's like you see it and you're just like, oh, I need to do that. Mm-hmm. And you either have the parent who's like, no, you're going to finish school, you're going to do all these things, you're not going to look at it until you're an adult, or you have the ones that are like, yeah, let's do it.
My parents definitely wanted me to just try whatever I liked and see what kind of went from there. I guess that's why I stayed in gymnastics, because I did really enjoy it. And the same with drama. So as soon as I liked something, my parents really encouraged it. But at the same time, my schools really encouraged like extracurricular things. And gymnastics was never a thing I could do at school. So I think it was like really encouraged that I did drama so that I was, you know, doing something as part of the school and meeting people through that, which was good because I don't think that's very common at many other schools. At least when we were younger, drama was a very popular thing. But when you get older in high school, I can't say the same thing.
Then you become the drama dorks and everyone's like, oh gosh, what play are they reading now?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's so cute. So when did you start like professionally auditioning and acting?
So I stayed in that community drama school for a few years, like all throughout primary school really. And towards I'd say it would be about year five, there was a girl a few years older who signed with an agent, and I just thought that was so cool that she got to do other acting things. I didn't really understand what it was, but I kept kind of talking to my mum about it, like, oh, this girl's like doing all these cool things, and like it's not just with the community theater, like she's branching out. And so we kind of just got in contact with her and she helped us go through her agent when I was in fifth grade, I guess. And I did quite a bit of that through primary school, mainly just commercials. And then towards the end, once I was doing a bit more acting, I started getting into short films. And then I did an episode of Mako Mermaids.
Yeah, which must have been so fun. Were you a fan of H2O? Was that like a dream come true?
Yeah, that was really surreal to me. I was definitely a H2O girl. I loved everything like Disney and Nickelodeon and everything. So that was pretty crazy. I was so nervous though, because I'd been theater trained but not acting trained. So I was kind of like, because they go like rolling, mark, action, and I never knew which one to go on. Like obviously it's action, but I would always go too early. Like as soon as they said something, I'd be like, whoa, and say my lines. And I just remember being so nervous that whole time and like not knowing what was going on. But I was just like happy to see the dolphins, and we were at like
what a dream
role. It was just so fun. We were at SeaWorld and I was just watching the older girls like, wow, they're so cool. Like they know what to do and when to start speaking. Like, it was just, an exciting experience.
Now, did you get to see a mermaid? I mean, that's the real
question. Yes, I got to see them swimming around in their mermaid tails, and I was like, oh my god, this is...
Now, that is so cool.
Yeah, and they were telling me, the, like, production team, I think they just liked that I was, like, so, like, baffled by everything, and they were telling me how, like, the weight works in the tails and how the girls had to be trained to swim in them because they were so heavy that you could, like, potentially drown in the tails. And I was like,
what?
I know. I was like, wow, they must be like superhuman to be swimming in these tails. Like, it was crazy.
Wow. And then you continued to work with dolphins with the Curious Case of Dolphin Bay.
I know. I've already been typecast.
You have. She's the girl with the dolphins.
The sea life girl. but yeah, that ended up happening at the end of last year, and it's only just come out now. So that's, years and years after. But I love the vibe of it. It's such an Aussie thing, like having the water and, you know, dolphins and sea creatures. I don't know. It's definitely fun.
So tell me a little bit about your character in The Curious Case of Dolphin Bay. I would love to know all about it.
Yes. So Daniela is a little bit of an antagonist. Actually, now that I think about it, so was Patty in who I played in Mako Mermaids, which I've never drawn those two things together. But yeah.
We're going to have to put together a chart and like compare the two.
That's really funny. But Daniela is, she can be a bit abrasive, which was interesting at first because I guess I'm not naturally drawn to playing those types of characters. Like, it's fun and interesting, but I think it was like something like, how am I going to find like the truth in that? Because I think in school, like, you can have those mean characters, but for me, it wasn't necessarily girls who were just upfront bullies. I think it was people who were more like snide and a bit backhanded, which is kind of like, when you look to it, a little bit of what Daniela was. But I think underneath it all, she was really just confused and just not sure who she wanted to be or be friends with or how she wanted to come off, and just a bit lost between America, where she lived and was best friends with Quinn, the main character, and Australia, where she moved and is now friends with Jennifer. So she's stuck in between these two worlds, and I think that's where I kind of found that sort of soft point where I could relate to her, because I've definitely been in that situation of being stuck in between the two worlds of like acting and school and university and stuff.
And it's interesting that you said it was difficult to find the soft spot for her, because I think that a lot of a lot of people who aren't aware of acting in the same way that we are, they don't understand that, you know, you have to find the humanity in everything. And it's difficult to find that with characters who are like, you know, the mean girls or whatnot, because you're just expected to be this, you know, very stock type of mean girl, and like, oh yeah, she was the mean girl on this show, and that makes sense because she's now the mean girl over here. So it's difficult to find that. And I wonder, what was like your process as an actor? I know you said you found it in like a certain spot for her, but do you have something that works for you? Like, is it a certain amount of times you read the script? Do you have any superstitions around any of that type of stuff?
Yeah, that's a good question. I always love hearing, you know, superstars, like what their process is. But I think something that I learned just in an acting class right before shooting this is that, like, no villain ever thinks they're the villain. No bully ever thinks they're doing anything wrong. Just like we always justify like our own actions. So my process for Daniela, I talked with the director before, and she said she didn't want to make this a stock standard bully, like you were saying, that she said she wanted to see more of that humanity in her and hopefully a glimpse into her side of things. And so what I did was, where I was a little bit confused with why she was being so mean or abrasive in certain parts of the dialogue, I would just like journal as if I was Daniela and draw connections to maybe why she was feeling so hurt by a certain comment and why she had to go so overboard in a certain monologue of hers. And that just really helped to make her a real person rather than just the bully. And obviously mm-hmm. I talked to Isabella, who plays Quinn, and we kind of tried to piece together maybe why there was so much friction. And obviously through conversations with the director, Christine, she was amazing. She really just wanted us to feel comfortable in our own characters. And she definitely did that. She called set a playpen just for us to throw around.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it was amazing, especially for such a quick shoot. We only had 3 weeks and she still really prioritized. I know. She still managed to prioritize us just trying to have fun with it and try new things. So definitely an inspiration for all of us cast and crew from what I've heard.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
You mentioned having to balance acting and university, and I want to talk to you about that. You know, it's a difficult thing to try and balance. Mm-hmm. I only just went back to college like a year ago. Yeah. Because I couldn't do it when I was younger. There was no way for me to figure out how to balance mm-hmm. that. So what has that been like for you? How have you been able to manage it all?
It's been a journey. I have changed degrees because I think a big part of balancing different parts of your life is you just have to love both and it has to be worth it to you. Where I find a lot of peace in university now is it's not so much a backup option if acting fails, it's just giving me more skills to act better. So I'm doing journalism mm. and international relations, so that's just a pathway for me to like learn about the world and things I could write about or work with other people in, like producing perhaps, like in documentary style or investigative stories. You know, like I just watched the Stanford Prison Experiment the other night.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that so good?
Amazing. Those sort of truthful, dramatic storytelling things. Like, that's kind of the way I see it, because at the end of the day, like, acting should be truth and journalism is trying to find the truth. So they go together just in different ways. And secondly, it kind of takes that pressure off of always needing to get the role when you audition, or always needing to be perfect, because I've found that, you know, you can't be perfect in acting, but you still put that pressure on yourself and that takes away the sort of beauty of a performance sometimes. So doing this degree has kind of made me see it as that fun thing again, like I did when I was little.
Oh, I love that. I mean, you bring up a good point. I always tell actors, young actors who are about to go off to university, don't study acting. Mm-hmm. Do something else. Build a different part of your brain. Get more knowledge in a different area, because that all is going to be able to help you as an actor grow and succeed.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think, you know, until you make it or get that breakout role, you're always going to have to be doing a side hustle or working another job, working at a cafe, so might as well be doing something that you like and like stimulating another part of your brain. That is, I'm sure, like, acting school is so valuable, and I would love to go to acting school. So I'm actually taking a like 6 month break off of uni to do like a 6 month program in the States, and I think that's like a great alternative, because you can still have
it's great
immersive experience. There's just, I think especially now, there's so many options and different routes to go mm-hmm. in this industry.
It's true. And, you know, the thing is that you can take acting class from so many different people at so many different times. You don't have to do it right when you're in college. You can figure it out afterwards, or you can do it while you're still in university. I mean, it's cool, because acting is one of those trades where you don't have to have a degree to be good at it or know what you're doing. You can take a class whenever.
Exactly. It's good and bad, because there's so many people that can do it.
True.
And there's like, it's kind of annoying. It's like, I wish there was one set pathway, like this one would be successful. But, you know, that's the beauty of it as well. And it's kind of nice having that sort of liberty to choose who you're being taught by when you're not in an institution, because you can then like, you can do like a month of classes from a certain teacher and decide whether they work for you and move on, which I've been really enjoying.
Yeah, it's fun to be able to learn from different people, because I feel like everyone has their own process of how they make characters, and being able to learn from so many different people throughout your life, you start to develop your own way of doing things, and you take a little bit from this person and a little bit from that person, and you make what works for you, which is what's really magical about the whole thing.
Yeah, and I was talking about this with a friend last night, like, every teacher thinks they're right. So, and they are, because they know what works for them. So I think it's like you have to sort of be your own teacher and then pick from those other teachers and come up with your own method, which is fun and exciting, but also frustrating when it's like a different method for every different character. Like you never quite know if you're right.
Yeah. It's true. You don't. Even when you get on that set, you still don't know if you're right.
Let's just see if they like it. Yeah, exactly.
So on this show, we like to share audition stories. Now, that can be something funny that's happened in the room, something embarrassing, or, you know, the big one that got away. Is there a story that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yes. There was this indie film it would have been like last year, and it was before Dolphin Bay, so it would have been my first like film, and it was really small, really low budget. And I had done like the first round audition, I think I'd done like three or four rounds, and I was like driving down to the Gold Coast, which is like an hour or two away. I remember my like first callback, I got lost, even though I like my grandparents live in the Gold Coast, I go there all the time. I somehow like ended up on the other side of where I needed to be, and it was like half an hour late. And I was like, I'm so sorry. And I was like all sweaty, and I like didn't have any deodorant. And then I ended up getting a call back, and I like really, really thought I got it. And then I got a call saying like, sorry, we were down to the final two and you just missed out. It was nothing wrong with your acting. It's just your look. Which is like awesome feedback, because you're like, well,
can't change my face.
Yeah, it's good and bad, because it's like, oh well, there's nothing I could have done. But then I tried to be like, oh, it's all right, like it was just an indie, like it would have just been for my experience, like I'm sure it's not really gonna go anywhere, like whatever. And then it made it to the Cannes Film Festival. I know.
Oh no.
And I remember like trying to be like so happy for this like young director, producer, and she's a female as well. And I was like, that's just incredible. But like, you know, when you were down to the final two, it's like, oh, it's, yeah.
It's a gut punch for sure.
Yeah. But, you know, Dolphin Bay was an awesome experience as well. And it had happened at the, like, I think, I don't even know whether I would have been able to do both with the shooting schedule. Yeah. So everything happens for a reason. That's what I'm just...
It's true.
Yeah, that's what
it's true, because isn't Dolphin Bay in theaters now in Australia?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, so that's pretty surreal. It's pretty exciting. I'm just so grateful for that experience, really.
Have you gone? Have you seen your face out there? Have you made all of your friends go?
My parents took me. I went with my mum and my dad.
That's so sweet.
It was really sweet of them. It's just a weird thing, though, to see yourself in the movies. I kind of, like, don't remember much of what happens, because it's such an adrenaline rush. It's like watching your tapes back. Like, it's not the most enjoyable experience.
It's like a blackout experience.
Yeah, so it's like a weird thing, but it's also just so exciting. Having that out there. So
Well, before we wrap things up, I just want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about Girl Up, which is the United Nations Foundation that you work with, and tell the listeners a little bit about it, because I think that's like so freaking cool that you're out there doing this amazing advocation for for young women across the world.
Yeah, thank you. Girl Up is a pretty amazing organization. So it is like a two-tiered system. It starts with clubs run by girls, mainly in schools, some in universities, some not even associated with either. And they focus on advocacy and leadership for young girls. So you can do things like fun runs to raise money, like advocacy sessions, like self-defense sessions, anything, and the whole and the public is welcome. And girls basically just run the sessions. And boys are definitely allowed in the club. That's like definitely something I want to get out of that. But the second tier of it is the money you raise goes back into mainly UN missions that support women. So UN Women, UNESCO, and they have those kind of organizations set up to have like a system where the money goes to people who actually need it and like ensure the money's being used for the right things that have an impact. And it's just connected me with some incredible young girls who are just trying their best to have an impact, no matter who they're impacting or how many people they're impacting. It's just been really amazing to meet such selfless people. So yeah, the Girl Up clubs are in over 130 countries now. And wow. Yeah, it's doing pretty amazingly. And there are the number of clubs are in the thousands, which is pretty cool. It's a lot smaller in Australia, but in the US, it's really growing. They did a fragrance with Billie Eilish.
Oh my gosh.
Pretty cool. I saw that and I was like, whoa, wait, what?
You're like, why did no one tell me?
Yeah. But yeah, they're certainly growing. And, you know, if anyone listening is in school, it's definitely something to investigate, because it's just the way my friend actually ran a club in her school. And it's really just you get together like maybe once every week and just plan certain fundraising events. And all the people that join are like-minded and always have other things going and ideas to bring. And it's just a nice, safe space, really, with guys and girls who are passionate about the same thing.
That's so awesome. I love that you have started to use your voice for these amazing causes. I mean, what got you into Girl Up and just advocacy in general?
So I went to a school that was really focused on social justice. Like, we had different clubs for a lot of different causes, like breakfast. You would make breakfast for the homeless population near us, and like packaging for domestic violence shelters. Like,
sorry, Australia sounds amazing. I think I need to live there.
It was pretty amazing. And I think reflecting now that I'm out of school, the most amazing part about it is that it was a cool thing to do. Like, you weren't trying too hard or like weird for doing those things. It was kind of just an expected thing. And I just loved it. It was such a positive vibe. All the girls, it was an all girls school, like coming together and doing those things. And I don't know, it was just like a nice break from, you know, there's any of the negativity that comes with going to an all-girls school as well. it was just always a positive thing for me. So I ended up being school captain in year 12, and through that I went to like this camp with the other girl and like a few other girls from schools around our area, and a speaker from Girl Up came. And I just thought it sounded really cool. And I went to talk to her about how the clubs worked. And she was like, oh, there's actually an opening for the Australian leader, like co-leader. It's like a volunteer position. And I was like, okay, I'll take it. Like, it sounds awesome. And she like helped train me. And we've been, you know, trying to basically work on the Australian system ever since. You know, it's an ongoing process, because the Australian development isn't as like intense as the US one. But I guess it's just an example of that sort of community. If you're interested, we just like want as many people to be involved as we can. So you never really know what opportunities can come from just getting involved.
I love that so much. That's so cool. And what a fantastic organization to be a part of. So thank you for your work on that. It's always great to meet somebody volunteering their time for something as important as that. So lastly, before we go, what do you have next in your acting life? I know you're very busy with all the other things, but is there anything that you can spill the beans on a little bit before we go?
Yeah, so my friend Jane Larkin, she is an amazing director and writer, and she's also an Australian athlete and a PhD candidate. Mm. I don't know what she doesn't do.
Does she sleep?
I mean, no, I don't think she does. But she has made a film about elite female athletes, and I have a little role in that, and it's in post-production at the moment. But there are just the cast is amazing. They're all actually Olympic or international athletes who are in the lead roles, and it's just such an important story, and it was amazing to be part of, even in a small way. So that'll be coming out soon, and I'm really excited to see it and see all Jane's hard work come to.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, before we wrap things up, do you have social media that you can tell the listeners to follow you to continue on this journey with you?
Yes, thank you. My Instagram is just Ella Probert, so Probert.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on, Ella. It was such a pleasure talking to you, and I'm so excited for your future and all the cool things that you're doing, because it's amazing and you're so well-rounded. So it's really nice to see someone like you succeeding.
Thank you so much. And thank you for having me. I really enjoyed chatting.
Thanks again to Ella for coming on the show. Make sure to check out her new film, The Curious Case of Dolphin Bay. And hey, if Girl Up sounded like a cool thing that you wanted to get involved in, I'm putting that link in the show notes as well. So check out Girl Up, see how you can get involved. And yeah, thanks, Ella. Thanks for telling us about that. Tune in next week for a brand new episode with another guest. And have a great week, everybody. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.